This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Cardinal Nation, what is happening out there in the world? We have an awesome, awesome treat for you today on today's podcast, Two Birds on a Bat. I'm sitting here with a full room of guests. I got somebody on the M4 by Yachty hotline. Jim, he is up watching the state baseball championship tournament. Edwardsville Tigers is up there, so he's already taken off with everybody, I think, here from Lineup Media Group. They're all up there watching. We got the producer in here. They've turned over the asylum to the inmates. So I brought in a couple of guests. I got my main man, Rodney Essenprice here, who is a fan of the a week right as we started the podcast. Rodney, what's going on?
Not a lot. Glad to be here. Glad to fill in. I mean, I guess. I don't know. In a lot of ways, it could be a negative show, but there's not a lot of positive talk about it. I'm glad to be here to do it anyway.
Well, I'm glad you're here because you're donating 2 hours of your time because we're going to do the Cardinal
2 hours? You're only paying me for one.
Well, I know, but you're a regular on the Cowboys podcast that we're going to do after this.
That's
so,
right.
You know, make sure you're ready to go on both Cardinals and Cowboys here. My other fan of the week, you heard him probably, what, about a month and a half ago, Zach? Zach Holland?
Yeah, right around a month and a half ago. I'm going to go with what Rodney said. Not a lot of positives, a lot of negatives, but we're going to have fun with it.
You know what I was impressed at is when I text you, you know, last night. Was it last night or this morning? This morning, right?
Yeah, this morning.
This morning, you jumped at the opportunity, and you basically said, hey, this is going to be a show. I got to do a lot of prep. I got printouts of stuff. You're basically dismantling the team before anything happens, before tonight's first pitch, right?
Yeah, thank God we play the Phillies. We may be able to take one of three, I guess, the way we're looking right now. But it'll be a fun show.
And then my main man, my brother, all right, he's on our M4 by Yachty hotline. So Jim's up at the state baseball tournament. Benji Molina, our world champion correspondent here, the biggest fan, Cardinal fan in Arizona, he's gone fishing. Now, how the hell do you go fishing in Arizona? I thought it was the desert. Is there water out in Arizona? Is there a lake?
George Strait wrote a song, Oceanfront Property in Arizona.
That's
so maybe.
A good one.
Maybe.
That's true.
All right. So on our M4 by Yachty hotline here, we got Billy Flowers. Billzers, what's happening, brother?
What's happening, guys? Coming to you from Chicago. It is always nice to talk Cardinal baseball because I do not get to do that very much up here. So I rely a lot on the podcast and the websites and, you know, certainly always nice to talk to somebody. And man, there's just a lot going on and not a lot of good stuff happening right now.
Well, hey, just let's clue us in a little bit. You spent, Sunday night? Were you on the rooftop up in Chicago for the Cubs-Cards game?
I was and almost jumped off. man, it was not a pretty sight. I tell you, that was about as close as I've come to being embarrassed to wear a Cardinal uniform. Was there with all my Cubs buddies that are up there, and man, I heard about it the whole way home, talking sweep, and man, they just looked like they didn't have any life, you know. And it'd be one thing if they were out there and really hustling and grinding, but man, they just looked like they've lost something in their soul right now.
Well, that's disappointing. We're about I tell you what, guys, I want to get to the show, but there's a couple of things here. Our man Jim, if you all the regular listeners out there knows that he rolls stuff off the top of his head on all this lineup media stuff that we have to go through for the show, but he left me specific instructions and wrote it down, so I'm hoping I don't screw it up here because it's like 4 pages of notes, and then we get to go to Rodney's going to give himself a little plug. I told him we'd do that for his insurance business. We'll go to the Supreme Lending commercial. Then we'll come back. We're going to jump right in this. But here we go. You're listening to us. You're a fan of the show, hopefully. Make sure you get on the website and subscribe. It's twobirdsonabat.com. You can catch the podcast there. You can subscribe to the show. One of the best ways to reach out to us, Jim monitors our Twitter handle, which is at Birds on a Bat Show. He loves the interaction of the fans and really gets at it with some of these guys. I know that him and Anti-Matheny, one of the other Twitter handles out there, really have fun going back and forth. Sometimes they agree, sometimes they disagree, but if anybody knows Jim, he loves to argue. So say some off-the-wall shit and getting fired up, because I love it. Facebook, search for Two Birds on a Bat. Follow us on Facebook. That's, you know, if you love podcasts, okay, and Roddy and I do a couple of them in here. We do the Dallas Cowboy one, and then I also do this one, Two Birds on a Bat. But if you love podcasts, we got something out there for you at Lineup Media Group. So go ahead and check us out at lineupmedia.fm. And search for what you're looking for. We got Rich Grogan does one of these kicking life guru motivational thing. I know Jono, one of our buddies on the Cowboys one, also does a horse racing show over here at Fairmount Park. So got a lot of great stuff happening out there on in Podcast Nation. So make sure you check us out, lineupmedia.fm, and subscribe to any show that you want to there. Also want to give special thanks out to Nate McHenry with the Rally Squirrel. Follow him at rallysquirrel.com. He got a really cool subscription service out there, so make sure you check that out. Once again, rallysquirrel.com. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate all you do for us. Chris Lawless has a couple of different Facebook pages out there, Cardinal Nation, Cardinals 24/7, the Cardinal Freak. So Chris interacts with us a ton through Facebook and always has some great posts. So make sure you go ahead and get on his Facebook page, like what he's doing, and enjoy what Cardinal Nation's saying out there, even in the bad times. Rodney, you look like you're in deep thought over there. You thinking about what you're going to say?
No, I was taking a nap.
Oh, taking a nap. All right. Well, I'm sorry. We're done with all that crap. Kidding. So Rodney Essen Price here, good buddy of mine, huge Cardinal fan, huge Dallas Cowboy fan, comes in here, donates his time. So, Rodney, I know you're taking time off work. Tell us a little bit about what you do. Give yourself a little plug here.
All right. Sure. My name is Rodney Essen Price, AW Insurance. Full service insurance agency, auto, home, life, business, all that good stuff. We're here in Edwardsville. You can follow me on Facebook at Rodney Essen Price. You can reach me at 618-780-0021. Wasn't really prepared for like a full-on professional plug, so was that good enough for you, Steve?
Well, guess who has a professional plug here? You're going to hear from Supreme Lending. We're going to do the commercial, but Bilzers, Edward Jones, when are we going to get them as a sponsorship? I know you're up there in Orland Park with your – is it Orland or Palos? Where's your –
Well, I'm now, as of 3 weeks ago, in Orland Park.
Okay.
So, yeah, just moved down to the bigger of the suburbs. But, yeah, when are you going to get me? As soon as I can move that up the bureaucratic ladder. We got 25,000 employees. So as soon as I can get old Jim Weddle to sign off on it, we're good to go. Otherwise, you just have my opinions as a Cardinal fan and a brother.
Well, I know that you're up there in Cub Nation, but you're working for a St. Louis company, so keep it going.
That's
strong,
right?
With Edward Jones, right?
You
Zach,
know it.
Zach, any shameless plug you need to give? I know you're incognito today on a long lunch break.
Yeah, on a long lunch break here. Not really anything I need to plug in, besides if you need any media guides. Besides Lineup Media, you can always go to Outfront Media for all your billboard needs.
Perfect, perfect. Well, a quick word from the main sponsor here for Two Birds on a Bat is Supreme Lending. So we'll hear from them right now. Hey, Cardinals fans. This is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483 or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch, NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Perfect, perfect. You know, this is where Jim usually comes back and says, Steve, I appreciate what you and Emily do and Supreme Lending does, but since Jim isn't here, I guess I got to pat my own self on the back. Zach, why don't you do that real quick?
Thanks, well, you know, man. What, Steve-O, why don't I jump in, because I've been a very satisfied customer of Steve and Emily Flowers for several times now. So, yeah, give them a call. They'll do you right.
Perfect. We do.
It's been a little time working for old Steve Flowers, too, for a little while. But,
yes, she did. Then you got smart. Perfect. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I know Zach came in here with a ton of notes, and he's ready to go. He's chomping at the bit. He's done with all the other BS that we had to go through. Zach, take it away, bud. Where are we going with the show?
First things first, I want to say one positive note, and it's about the only thing we can see. There are two performers on the Cardinals right now that are actually doing their job. He may have had a rough time at the plate. He only had two hits in Cincinnati this week, but he is hitting .307. We'll give a prop and a hats off to Jed Jerko. Thanks for showing up every day. You're in the lineup every day. Also, Yachty dropping a little bit at the offensive helm, but doing pretty solid on defense, so we'll go there. I just want to start. I read something online. I don't know if there's a ton of truth to it, but I heard some trade rumors of Johnny Peralta, and he went to the Cardinal organization and said that these are the only teams I'd like to be traded to. Well, Johnny, you're hitting .204. You're doing nothing right now. What team wants you? What team wants to eat up that contract? Steve, help me out.
Well, a couple things. I think he has a no-trade clause in there, right, unless he endorses it.
Correct.
And so what that basically tells me, that's a mark of a professional. I think he's seeing that his time in Cardinal Nation is at its end, and that he did, took a step forward and went to management and said, okay, guys, if you have an opportunity to move me, here is my preference list, whatever that might be. And I think if they get interest from somewhere else, that they'll probably go back him, and hopefully he's still a professional and says, I get it. If you got somebody that can give me some playing time, let me go ahead and move since I'm in a walk year of my contract.
Yeah, if you want an overweight shortstop / third baseman hitting .204, yeah, you're definitely tradable, let me tell you.
Softball player,
no extra base hits, yeah.
And no RBIs, right? Are you
RBIs.
You were describing me there for a second, an overweight shortstop third baseman.
It was also my understanding that during that conversation that the organization at least approached him on the possibility of filling in at first base just to try to get him on the field and do something, and it, from what it was reported, it didn't sound like he was real open to that idea. So, and I get it. He's a veteran. He's earned the no-trade clause. He's maybe earned some of those things. But if you want to play and you want to be on this team and help contribute, then you should try to find any way that you can get on the field and do it. And I understand maybe some reservations. He's never played there before. I get that. But at the same time, don't you have to get over that fear as a major league ball player if you really do want to contribute or not?
No, I agree with you. I start thinking when you start talking about the no-trade clause, how popular that is in contract talks now, where these guys want to, settle down their family and know that they have some control over where they go, when they go, et cetera. Does Johnny Peralta have a no-position clause in there where, hey, I'm only going to play these certain positions, or, hey, I can't bat below the sixth hole or whatever it might be?
I doubt there's an actual clause in the contract, but other than he can just not take the field. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just...
Well, I think he helps the Cardinals out if he's not taking a field, because 204 isn't going to cut it in this, in this day and age. Bilzers, what do you got on Peralta, your thoughts on him?
Yeah, you know what? I actually didn't mind him coming with a list. And let's remember, they're professionals and they're negotiating. And so he's going to come in with a little bit stronger of a stance than he's actually going to take there. And so if they come back and say, well, you know, the Royals are talking, he'd be able to play every day, you know, he may say, okay, blah, 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 even if they're not on the list. But he's going to come in with a list of 10 or whatever it is and try to negotiate high. My bigger problem with him is that he's not willing to go to first base. And so, you know, I see that he's a veteran and he's probably earned the right to say yes or no, but that shows a complete lack of fire and willing to help the team, in my opinion. And that, to me, is the bigger issue.
Agreed.
Well, speaking of trade, and I know, Zach, did you want to move on to some of those rumors, other rumors out there that you're hearing and what you like, what you don't like? The cool thing is, guys, you know, I've had an opportunity to develop a relationship with Benji over the past couple of months here that we've been doing the show. And one of the neatest feelings is when you're, you know, texting back and forth with your brother in Chicago, talking about the Cardinals and everything, and then all of a sudden you get another text in, and it's Benji Molina texting, not Billy Flowers texting. It's kind of exciting, but
no offense,
Bilzers.
No, I get it. I will bow to Benji Molina.
He big timed you, but I mean, this guy, he's on it, man. He's trying to find, you know, players that we can move and try to trade for, and we're throwing out names and talking about rumors, and the sad part of it is he's 2 hours behind us, so when it's, you know, 10 o'clock his time, it's midnight here, and I'm like, BMO, man, I gotta get to bed, I gotta work in the morning, brother. But he is fired up. You should hear some of these texts he sends, like, just not happy with the direction the players are executing at right now, and he really thinks that we need to make some moves. But as we talk about that, I got to get your guys' feelings on what kind of moves would you like to make, and compared to what I think I would like. And when you look at it from a general manager position, I think you got to look at where do we have talent, where do we have excess talent, and who can we move for, and who's most likely to move. So when you look at those things, you got to find a ball club that's probably not in the hunt and already saying, hey, we're out, we want to rebuild. And usually those teams want to move guys that are in walk years of their contract, right?
Correct.
So the number one guy I see that I think that could really help us, and this is with minimal research, but I really like the shortstop out of Kansas City, Escobar. And you talk about strengthening up the middle, and we have some pieces, because we do have some infielders in there, that we could move to Kansas City. Along with, you know, whether it might be an outfield prospect or whatever it is, and then get one of those guys, which is traditionally what St. Louis does, is they go after a trade with a guy that's in a walk year of a contract, try to get him here in St. Louis, make him feel the best fans in baseball culture here, and then try to re-sign him to a contract, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit off the reservoir here, if I may. And Cardinal fans may not like this. I mean, we just gave the guy a $52 million extension, but he's also hitting .216. That's Matt Carpenter. If you're looking at the Memphis Redbirds this year, they're hot. They're 36-24. They're leading their division, the Pacific Coast League. There's a kid by the name of Luke Voit who's batting .319. He's a first baseman. We could potentially move Carpenter, if the Royals want that contract, for Escobar. Bring the kid up who's hitting .319. Why not? I mean, yes, I mean, last time I checked, Memphis is to develop players. The kid's developed, and that gives me off on Memphis, too. Luke Weaver, he's 6-1 with a 1.84 ERA. Don't know what else you can do. I really don't know what else you can do besides, you know, I'm sorry, coach, I lost one game for you this year. I gave up one extra run. My bad. There's some changes that need to be made. And I'm not so sure that we have the right guy up in the front office, John Mozeliak. Everybody says Mo knows. I don't think Mo knows. The only thing Mo knows how to do right now is lose to Theo Epstein. I mean, it's just what happened. It's what's going on right now. What do you think, Rodney?
I'm not there yet. I think at this point, you like kind of something what you said when we first started. The team just looks, they look lost. I guess Billy said it. They look lost. They just don't, they don't seem like they have their way. So I don't know what the magic move is other than to make a move, like make a splash to get people's attention. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like they're just on the wrong course. They don't, the players and the coaches, nobody seems to have an answer, really. If you see it, like the post-game press conferences are all kind of the same. Well, we need to get better at this or that. And, well, you haven't. You're not showing any improvement. So at that point, you've got to start changing personnel. You've got to bring someone else in here to do it, whether it's from Memphis, through a trade, whatever. But you got to shake it up. You got to scare people or something. Something's got to be different.
I completely agree.
Bilzers?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that there has to be a shakeup. I don't necessarily agree with getting rid of Matt Carpenter. I'm not there yet either. I've also never questioned the fact that Mo wants to win, you know, and just sometimes you have down years. I get it. And sometimes people just don't perform like you think they're going to perform, right? We talk about potential all the time on the show, and nobody's living up to that save Jed Jerko right now. And, you know, had everybody done that, or at least we had a handful of guys that were having some good years here, I think we'd be in a fine situation. But, you know, what are you going to do to make a splash? You know, I don't know. Certainly the bullpen needs to be fixed, but it seems to me like this team has started feeling like they can't win. They don't have the fire. And so is that a player? Is that a trade? Do you have to scare them? Is it a move in the coaching staff? Not necessarily Matheny, but, you know, do you switch up some coaches and bring in some new personnel? You know, that's something that's been talked about. Ortiz had a good article on that on STLtoday.com today. So, yeah, there's a lot of different directions. I'm not sure what the answer is.
Yeah, and you know what? And nobody's going to be sure what the answer is until things change. You know, it could be that you sit here and you're just in a slump. What'd we say? They've only won 5 out of the last 21 or something like that?
5 of the last 22 with an overall record of 26-32.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, there's been a shakeup in the lineup and there's been moving pieces around, and we talk about that all the time, and I don't think Cardinal normal fan out there realizes that some guys just can't hit in, you know, the 3-hole or 4-hole, or some guys are geared more towards they perform better in the leadoff position, and it's one of those things where if you have somebody hitting down at number 7 or 8 and they're hitting 310 and hitting balls out of the ballpark, and then you move them up into the 3 or 4-hole because, hey, over the last 2 weeks they've been our best hitter, you might put them in a slump.
Yeah.
That's just how I can't explain it. I don't know why it happens like that. You wouldn't think it does, but there is something that goes on in the where you're slotted to hit. And sometimes I'm looking at Jerko splits for the last 30 games, and he only has 2 home runs. So, and how long has he been hitting in the 4-hole? 20 games?
Right. Yeah.
So can he not hit in the 4-hole with power?
I don't think if you look at our roster, filling up a lineup card, I don't think that you're confident in anybody on our roster to hit in the 3-4-5-hole. Right?
No,
we
and
don't
I don't
have a superstar.
No, and Jerko's
been leadoff hitters and a bunch of 7.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no continuity to the lineup. Like, it's fine. Like, Jerko's hitting 4th on this team because he's the next available. Like, he's the one on the roster that fits the part, quote-unquote fits the part.
Statistically.
But he really doesn't. Like, he on a good team, he's probably hitting 5.
Or 6.
Or right. 6. Right. You know, yes, yeah. He's going to hit in that 5 or 6 slot and hit, you know, and really give you some great production out of those two positions. As a 4-hitter, he's just not – it's just not your prototypical player.
Now, Bill, I am going to – Steve will have my back on here, and so will Jimmy when he comes back. But on opening day, I did say – that I think the Cardinals are going to win 76 games this year. And I caught a lot of heat from that. I caught a lot of heat from that when they went on their...
I bet you did.
I caught a lot of heat when they went on their little miracle run. Where they went, they lost, what, 3 out of 18?
Right.
Caught a lot of heat from that. I don't think I'm crazy. I just think that when I look at lineups, and you can get into payroll if you want. I mean, the Cardinals are the 14th most paid in the league, which is...
500 ball club.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
Right in the middle.
Yeah, I agree. But you look at the Dodgers, you know, $242 million this year. Okay, they're 36-25. The Yankees, $200 million, 34, 23, Red Sox 32, 27 at $200 million. So, I mean, you can say that money doesn't have to do with it, but, you know, they're paying their players. And can the only reason the Cubs are at 172 is because, you know, they're under still rookie contracts.
Correct.
And they may have to break up, or you never know what's going to happen. Somebody may take a pay cut. My point is that when you look at this roster, I personally don't see a lot of wins. I don't see how you can, you know, put a piece here, put a piece there to win some ball games. Now, I do say that, you know, we're coming into the schedule where we're going to probably win some games. We have the Phillies coming in, we have the Brewers, then we have the Phillies again. We're going to win some games there because of who we're playing. The Brewers are hot now, but at the end of the day, they're still the Brewers.
Well, we thought about the Reds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of the Reds, I said it on the show a couple weeks ago. I hate Joey Votto. I hate him. I hate the way he looks. and that's what he
does.
Yeah, that's a Cardinal fan in me. But yeah. I tell you what, if you want to talk about a shakeup and somebody that we need a Joey Votto type. Not
Seriously.
Only on the field,
yeah, get pissed off,
but
like,
at
do
first
something.
Base, we need that dick. Who nobody likes except for the guys on the team with him. And I hear those guys don't even like him, really. But what do you do? Hit three bombs against us this past week?
Yeah, he produces. He's a Cardinal killer.
He is a Cardinal killer.
Yeah.
So that's what I think we need somebody. We don't need a Miguel Cabrera. We don't need the Martinez kid out of Detroit who, you know, for all intents and purposes, all he is a stat line. I think they need somebody that with a little fire in the belly, with a little white dog shit in their belly, that's fired up, and that's a good reference, isn't it, Bilzers?
How about this one? I got a free agent. Yeah. We need bullpen help, right?
Right.
Jonathan Papelbon, free agent.
Yeah.
Free agent. He's got a couple of years in the tank. If you want a dick, there's your dick.
Yeah, that you know that now you're gonna have me bring back AJ Pierzynski. You know you're gonna bring out all the people that nobody likes, right?
Yeah.
If you want, shake up.
Let's go back for a second. Wasn't Dexter Fowler supposed to lift everybody in this clubhouse and loosen us up and make everybody great? What happened to that?
No, he's hitting .222 or somewhere in that vicinity. Yeah. No, you're right, though.
Isn't he this great clubhouse guy that was supposed to just help everybody? I mean, can you not do that at .222? Why can't we expect him to? Why isn't he doing this?
Right.
Because sometimes you got to do a little bit more than smile to hit.
Yeah, and I like him as a player. And I think when you signed Fowler, you signed Cecil, you signed Yachty to a contract, Piscotty, obviously Mozeliak thought that they had a team to contend and they added pieces to try to win this year. So are you telling me that this was a rebuild year? If you're rebuilding, you don't sign Yachty,
right?
That's
not a rebuild, no.
You're trying to win this year. So obviously Cardinal front office says, we think that we have the pieces in place and that we add lefty bullpen help, right? If we add the spark in center field, top of the lineup, leadoff hitter, okay? We sign our captain, which is Yachty, and then we get our next up-and-coming guy, Piscotty, under contract that we think that we're going to go out and compete with the Cubs. That's their mentality that they had coming into the season. But when you're hitting .220 and you haven't gotten a lefty out all year long.
He hasn't gotten anyone out.
Year long. I just when Jim gets on this show, and he does it 99% of the time, and he talks about the Matheny, and everybody's bashing Matheny, I'm not that guy. I usually shut up during those instances when he goes on a rampage or whoever else it might be. I'm not a Matheny basher. I'm not a Matheny apologist. I'm looking at the guys between the white lines, and I'm thinking they're putting Matheny in a situation where he has to
change. He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't.
Absolutely.
Right
but
now,
he's starting
the way
to
team's
leave,
playing.
He's starting to leave pitchers in an extra inning. He's taking lefty-lefty matchups out because this guy can't get anybody out.
Right.
And then he's still getting burnt. There is nobody producing out there worth a damn except side. You got Jerko. And Yachty defensively, right?
No, not at all. I mean, when you can't blame Matheny for Dexter and Randall Grichuk both hitting .222 and Matt Carpenter hitting .216. You can't blame him for that, okay? There's got to be some accountability from the players. Now, can we pick apart some moves Matheny's made over the years and this year, of course.
Every manager in the MLB.
Every manager is going to make wrong decisions almost probably daily. Some of them, he may make the wrong decision and the team still wins or it works out, but it wasn't necessarily the right decision. So, no, I'm with you, Steve. I'm not going to sit back and just completely pick apart everything. You know, like you said, it's got to come down to the players. They're not performing, plain and simple. You don't think Matheny's trying to talk to him in the clubhouse? He's trying to put him in different positions in the lineup. He's trying to give him an extra day off. He's, you know, he's doing all of those things.
If we
they're still not producing.
But Steve, didn't you say, well, it had to have been a week ago, we need somebody to do that lollygagger speech from Bull Durham?
Yes.
We need the bats thrown in the shower.
Yes. Scare him.
That's exactly right.
Hit the bull, get a free
steak. Yeah, I mean, publicly he has to be on the player's sides, okay? And we get that. And that was a Tony La Russa move, and Mike's following suit, and I think he has to do that. But what's going on in that clubhouse? I mean, he's got to start waking some people up, you know, and how's he doing that? We'll never know. We'll never know what's happening.
Well, obviously sending Grichuk down to A-ball didn't wake anybody up, okay? So at this point, where are we? Are we buyers or are we sellers in the marketplace when it comes to free agency? Because there's rumors about Ozuna. We know the Marlins are going to be a seller. Okay, we know Atlanta. Why on earth, when you trade Matt Adams down there, you don't try to get a Vizcaino who throws 100? I know he had an injury issue, but you got a bag of batting practice balls maybe. Nobody that can help you at least this year. Are you not trying to get somebody that you can bring in the bullpen? Or maybe he wasn't worth it. I don't know.
The only reason I don't think that they would have done that, traded him for Matt Adams, is because, you know, they have an all-star first baseman. It's unfortunate that he's hurt.
That was a pure need, how that came about.
Freddie Freeman is their number one. He will be there. Yeah. Right. He may not. He'll go to rehab. He'll have a couple Triple-A appearances, I'm sure. But Matt Adams is a second string guy. I don't think he's starting on any roster in the MLB besides the Atlanta Braves right now, just because it's 100% need.
We are the Atlanta Braves today, by the way. We're both 26 and 32.
Correct. We are.
You know what I mean? So that's why he fits in perfect over there. It's the same thing.
I don't necessarily think we should be buyers just because of say what you want about the Cubs. They are better than us. They are going to win our division, and they're going to make a run in another championship. I mean, that's just their lineup.
Yeah.
And they have a manager. Benji was on here a couple months ago and said, you know, your managers dictate maybe 7 to 10 wins a year. Joe Maddon generates 7 to 10 wins a year. He's a Hall of Famer, and he knows what to do with the ball club. I'm sure they love him in Chicago. He could do whatever he wanted in Chicago. Right, Bill?
That's 100% true.
Wow.
To answer your question,
he can do no wrong. He is nearly at Ditka status up here right now.
Whoa, that's strong.
Yeah.
Nearly.
Ditka.
No one will ever be at Ditka status, but he's close.
But to answer your question about whether or not, you know, I think they can do both. Actually, I think they should try to find a combination of both, of being a buyer and a seller. Just because we make a move that on appearance we get a good player in return and we make some moves, you know, sending some players out, doesn't mean that we're necessarily playing for this year. Can we improve our roster today to get better for the years to come and still not win the division? I think that's what they have to honestly take a look in the mirror and probably do this year.
A slice of humble pie.
So are we saying, and I'm gonna read between the lines here, that Yachty might be the only untouchable just because we're from a fan's perspective. Everybody else is on the block.
I think
you can't touch him either.
Okay,
in my personal opinion, he's an asset in the bullpen. Yes, I know he's gone on a pretty good run. He got lit up a little in Cincinnati, but everybody did, especially the bullpen. I'm sure we're going to get into that in a few, but I don't think you can touch Wainwright. I don't think you can touch Molina. I don't know if anybody wants any part of Dexter Fowler's $82 million contract, so you probably can't do anything with him.
Okay.
I
think Wong has an attractive contract out there, right?
25-5 guaranteed.
Does.
So, and he's 4 years left, 3.5 years left on the contract. I think Wong has an attractive contract. I think Diaz is attractive if you can, as a second baseman, most likely. Obviously, Grichuk is, you know, if you can pick up batting practice balls, perfect right now. Piscotty, I think, has a favorable contract.
Yeah, Piscotty to me is a really good baseball player. I think he is just. I think he has all five tools. He can hit. He can field. I don't want to see him leave. And I know this is an opinionated show.
Yeah, so it's very opinionated.
So I don't want to see. I don't want to see Piscotty leave. But it's another contract that could be out there. I just want this team to succeed long term. We need to put a plan in place that we're going to compete. Maybe 2 years down the road, because rebuilding doesn't happen just like that. It doesn't. But what we can do is what Rodney said, you know, plant a foundation. You know, we need a foundation. We need a big-name player. I don't care if you have to give Bryce Harper $425 million, which I'm sure we won't do. But we need to get somebody on that status, somebody that is always, no matter what, in the three or four spot every day of the lineup. We haven't had that since Pujols.
Right. So they talk about Ozuna down in Florida.
Correct.
Or Miami, right?
Yeah, Miami.
You got Yelich down there. When I'm looking at trades, like I said, I would prefer probably to get somebody from the National League just because they're used to the pitching, right? That's always been a rub. Hey, you're going to get this Martinez from the American League. He's got to face all the pitchers first time through. He doesn't have a book on him. I've never seen him. Now he's hitting .219 and you're a scrub. They talk about Will Myers out in San Diego. I think you got to find a team that's not in it, that's willing to move somebody that's not probably in your division, and that they're not in with their division either. So is Will Myers available? You're not getting anybody out of anybody else on the NL West because they're all pretty much in it, in the hunt, right?
Right. Even Colorado, yeah.
Yeah, Colorado, I think, is leading.
They are by far the most surprising team. I think we can all agree on that this year.
But if you look at statistically speaking and you look at fantasy baseball, these guys are all killed. I mean, they're the first, six of the first 10 guys taken come out of Colorado just because the balls fly out of there. Statistically, they're amazing.
I would love Charlie Blackmon in our outfield.
And we talked
would
about
love that.
Bilzers, what do you think? Who are we looking at? What kind of rumors are you hearing out there? I know you do probably – most of us here probably just listen to, Bernie Miklas and some of the guys here on talk radio and read some articles. But I know you're really in tune with reading more Major League Baseball stuff from a national perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the same stuff with the Marlins trades and, Ozuna and Yelich and all of that. And I think my take on it is we can't go out and get another, player, average plus. We can't go get another Dexter Fowler, who's a really nice name and going to produce pretty well. We need the 3-4 hole hitter, the pencil in everyday superstar type player. And that's what we're going to build around. Because right now we've got a lot of parts, but we have no nucleus. And I think that's the issue. And so I'm with you guys. I don't care where it comes from. Just give me somebody who's going to be a stud.
So do you like Ozuna filling in there in left field? You got him in the three, or probably in the three hole, and you pencil him in every day?
I don't know a heck of a lot about him. What do you guys think?
I would pass on Ozuna and do whatever we had to do to get Manny Machado. He's going to be here for a long, long time. He's got an attitude to him, and he can hit. He can hit, and he's got a laser from third base. We could probably even move him to shortstop if he wanted to make the transition. I don't see any problem getting Manny Machado.
Okay, so I'm glad you bring that up, because to me, I want stronger defense up the middle. And you watch these guys. You watch MLB Central every morning or whatever it is, and you see these guys making the plays of the week, and every time it's a shortstop up the middle, ranging behind second base, turning, flipping, throwing the ball 100 miles an hour across the diamond. And we got a guy, and Billy, we talked about this quite a bit, plays not made.
Yep.
Even that borderline routine play that Diaz doesn't get, how many, what is it, wins against replacement, on the defense side that they calculate?
Defensive run saved.
Yeah, defensive run saved, all that goofy advanced metric stuff. But that's where I would rather try to find a shortstop initially right off the bat. And because you got Yachty in there, if you can find a shortstop, I like Wong's defense when he's mentally plugged in. And then Fowler obviously gives you solid defense out there in center. So
I don't know. Is that cornerstone shortstop out there right now?
I think Escobar's got to be there for the taking. He's a free agent and a walk here.
He's there for the taking, but he's not a transformative player. He's a good player. I don't think he's a transformative player. He's not a Albert Pujols. He's not, and even, you know, Matt Holliday was probably the last big superstar acquisition that we had. And
we won a championship with him.
Exactly. You know, and we don't, yeah. We just don't have that right now. And I don't think Escobar is that either. I mean, he would make our team better, but I don't think that's, you know, to
but
to
I
your
think
point,
that's another Fowler, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just exactly. It's another,
he's gonna improve us, but yeah.
It's another Band-Aid. We're not really taking care of the long-term problem. Yeah. We're just taking care of the immediate problem.
I would rather have Brian Dozier than Ozuna. I mean, if you want middle infield help, I would rather have Brian Dozier there. If there's something, maybe Wong could be in a trade with Brian Dozier. If that's a huge hole for Minnesota to fill, and they're playing really good baseball right now. They may be buyers to contend this year. So I don't know if Brian Dozier's on the market right now. Yeah.
And that's why I say you got to look at a Kansas City. You got to look at a San Diego. You got to look at these guys that are – if you're going to make a move now, and we've talked about that on the show, how long are you going to wait? I think the Cubs playing so poorly have gotten you into a situation where you've probably stood pat a little bit longer than you thought you might have needed to just because they're playing 500 ball through the first 2 months of the season. So now what do you do? Do you go another month, and if the Cubs get hot, now all of a sudden you're 10 games and you go cold?
Right.
You're 10, 12 games back. Now what do? Now you're a seller.
Yeah. I've never been a big fan of giving up on seasons. That's just not in my DNA. It's not my way to go. It even pains me to say it, but I feel like every day that the Cardinals are standing pat from here until the trade deadline, we are getting worse. Because, you know, with the expanded wild card now, teams are going to be in it longer. So there's going to be some teams that aren't probably in it, quote unquote, right now that may go on a 5 or 6 game winning streak. And now they're only a couple games out. They're no longer sellers by July.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah.
So it's changed the landscape so much that I really think that if there's an opportunity that's here today, you've got to start pulling the trigger on them.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rodney. We need to strike, and we got to do it while the Cubs are stumbling or they haven't found their groove yet. Because if we wait and let them do that, we're now reacting to everything else.
Right. You don't think there's going
to
be a month
we get a chance
hot?
To set the market instead of react to it?
Yeah. No. There's going to be a month where they get hot, and then next thing you know, they're going to be 10, 12 games up.
Well, that's the thing, you know, we talk about that momentum. You know, even if the Cardinals take one game from the Cubs, it probably, you know, keeps them off of some sort of hot streak. And we had all those games won, really.
Yeah.
Or at least two of them. You know, the same thing in Cincinnati. You keep going out there, you get an early lead, and for whatever reason, the bats go cold. I'm sick of seeing 3 runs through, you know, 2 innings and then 17 in a row sat down by the opposing pitcher. I mean, how do we keep staying hot and allow our middle relievers, you know, when they give up 3 runs, not to have a game lost?
I understand where you say the bats go cold, but it just seems every time Brett Cecil comes in with the lead, he leaves without it.
The other team's bats get hot.
Exactly. Like the other day, prime example, we put Cecil in, I take the trash out, it's 3-1, and I come back and I see it's 3-3, and then Rosenthal gives up a bomb to Votto, opposite field bomb, good swing by Votto. It's just like we're scared to play with the lead. Tell me right now, are you comfortable taking the ball from a starting pitcher in the 7th with our bullpen if we have a 2 or 3 run lead? Is anybody comfortable with that?
No. But that's what I refer to.
Absolutely not.
And Bilzers, we had the same. Remember, I text you and I go, "What just happened? I where'd I go?
Yeah.
I went to grab something to eat or something like that. I come back and it's like you said, 4-4. And what the hell just happened? How did they score that quick?" But that's exactly my point. So how do you blame Mike Matheny when he leaves Leak out there and he gets burnt because Leak ends up – I mean, he's 4th time through the lineup he's trying to get through,
yeah.
And he gets hit. Or you try to do something and say, okay, well, we got 4 runs. We got a situation to pull out Lynn after 78 pitches and tack on another, and then you pull him out, and they give up the lead the next inning. even when you make the right call, your relief pitchers make you look like a damn ass.
There's no reason to pull Lance. I do blame that one on Matheny. There's no reason to pull Lance Lynn at 78 pitches when he's throwing pretty well. Lance Lynn right now has a 2.88 ERA. Mike Leake, 2.70 ERA. Those guys, I understand leaving Mike Leake out. That's fine. I don't understand taking Lance Lynn out of that game. But then again, that's only one game. This team isn't going to be defined by one game. This team is not going to miss the playoffs by a game. I promise you that. It's not going to come down to one game. There's more things going on than just one thing Matheny does. Now, are they snowballing? Maybe. I'm not going to hate on Matheny. He's a byproduct of what John Mozeliak decided to give him.
No, I think it's all circular. It's all working poorly off of each other right now. The personnel that Mozeliak put together is not performing. So whatever lineup Matheny throws out there isn't going to look good to anyone, right? And then they're not performing. He makes a decision. It goes wrong. The players think, oh, there was a wrong decision, or I didn't do my part. They're all just feeding off of each other, and it's a tailspin. That's plain and simple what it is.
Right. And Bilzers, I'll throw this one to you because I think the Cubs are going to start feeling this, and you'll probably have heard that stuff. But guys feed off of each other, especially when you get into like the starting pitching. Those five guys are out there having fun, battling, and they probably got competitions going within themselves, okay? They talk about it all the time, whether it's them hitting or how deep they're going in the games. They're all feeding off of each other from a starting position standpoint. And I see that starting to happen with the Cubs offensively, where they're going to start feeding off each other as Rizzo gets hot and Bryant gets hot. All of a sudden, you're going to get this Javi Baez kid that, for all intents and purposes, hasn't lived up to the type of year that everybody expected to have, or Schwarberg, and all of a sudden you're going to have six or seven guys hot on that team, and they might make a run where they take 17 out of 20 and leave everybody in the dust. They have that potential.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember reading last year, Rizzo hits behind Chris Bryant, and Chris Bryant hit a home run, and he walks up to Rizzo and goes, before Rizzo even steps up to bat, he goes, I just got you by two now for the lead on our team. And then Rizzo hits a bomb. So, yes, absolutely, they feed off everything. But that goes back to our team. We don't have guys that have numbers to talk about. Well, what's Yurko going to do? Oh, hey, guys, I'm betting 307. I'm betting 307. Dexter, where you at? I mean, it's just we don't have the core that we used to have. We don't have the Pujolses, the Matt Holidays. You know, we have and by the way, Carlos Martinez, nobody can touch him. We're not going to trade him. I don't think.
You're right.
I think he's special, and I don't think that we get rid of him. But, you know, we just don't have those guys that are going to grab you. Like, yes, we have Yadi, but Yadi can only do so much. You know, you used to have Holiday that could take all these players out and put them under his wing. We don't have that, and we took it for granted, I think, for a long time of how these veterans shape up a ball club.
But you know what the thing was about those veterans is that they were the best players on your team, and right now they just aren't.
Name the best person on our team right now. Name the best player on our team right now.
Carlos Martinez.
I agree.
I'd agree.
Yeah, it was Carpenter. It was Wainwright. It was Pujols. It was Holiday. Those guys were all the best players on your team, hands down. There was no question about it. They were your best pitchers. They were your best middle of the lineup hitters. So you can only listen to a 220 hitter for so long, right?
Correct.
You know what I mean? Even the best teammates, even best intentions, you're still going to kind of think to yourself like, well, he's hitting 222. Why am I going to listen to him?
Right.
You know, it's just you've got to have production and everything else will follow. You've got to have those leaders, though, and they don't have it.
Back to the Dexter Fowler thing when you say he's hitting 222. You know, even though he has a ring, you can flash your ring all you want. Like, we'll listen to a guy with a ring. But Dexter Fowler, you were on a team with probably four Hall of Famers, maybe five Hall of Famers last year, and Dexter Fowler is not one of those Hall of Famers I'm talking about. But I think you're going to see Chris Bryant probably going to be a Hall of Famer at some point if he keeps tracking the way he is. people have said some things about John Lackey. I'm not there yet, but possibly. Rings do talk. He's got a bunch. But it's frustrating to watch these Cardinals. And if we keep it up, we're going to have a very empty stadium come early August.
Well, Bilzers, I know you're up against it. You got to go. You got what, a guy bringing $4 or $5 million into deposit with you there at Edward Jones?
Six million.
Okay, that'll be good. I know you're up against the time here, so give me your parting shot.
We have about 5 minutes left.
Give me your parting shot. Tell me what you do. Your general manager for the rest of the year, and coach, and everything that needs to be done. You're the man. What are you doing with this team?
Let me ask a question. I want to get the group's response to this, because I've been asking myself this, and I don't know the answer. So when nobody is performing up to their potential, save a couple, right, and we use the word potential on the show, is that a failure in leadership from the coaching staff, or is that a failure of leadership from the team? Whose fault is this? I'll throw it out.
That's a good question.
I think it's a team thing, because all these guys have shown that they could do it. They're just failing to execute. I don't understand how you blame that on the manager when, you know, Cecil's been able to get people out, when Fowler traditionally hits, you know, 265, 270. I don't see how you blame that on anybody other than the guys that are swinging, throwing, hitting, running.
Yeah. I would agree with you. I mean, because if you heard a lot of commotion coming out of the clubhouse about, you know, where there was an obvious rub between the players and the manager, then you might be able to make that argument. But since there's not, I think the buck stops with the players then. Plain and simple. Grichuk, we've seen him hit home runs. We've seen him hit a ton of home runs, at least get hot for stretches of time. We've seen Fowler hit 265, whatever, Carpenter, all those guys. So, no, it's on the players.
Yeah, I'd have to say it's all on the players too, but I'm not blaming Matheny on it. I can't blame Matheny on it, because he fills out a lineup card. I'm going to say that it all goes on John Mozeliak. That is who I think it is. Now, you can call it the players, but when I look at the roster, nothing shouts out to me like, oh, I want to go see this guy play. I want to see Carlos Martinez get the ball. I want to be in Busch Stadium every time he gets the ball, but that's about it. It's a combination of the players, but I think we need to shake up the front office a little bit. Call me crazy, and I may get backlash for it, but call me crazy. I'd pay Theo Epstein to come to St. Louis to shake things up. Buy him out. And you know what? If he was smart, he would say no, because he's in a pretty good spot in Chicago.
That's true.
All right, Bilzers, what are you doing? Change the team for me.
Well, I think we need a big bat. So I think we go out and see what we can do about potentially getting Ozuna. But I think that the bigger – so I'm going to have a different take on this, if I can go back to my question and answer it in a different way. Steve, not to sidestep your question there. But if you take a look at the coaching staff, one of the things that that Tony La Russa did that I think was really brilliant, that maybe he doesn't get the credit for, is he always brought around complementary pieces to him. So La Russa was a very good thinker and a very good strategist. So he brought in guys who were ex-players, like Mark McGwire is the hitting coach, and you know, you got Duncan as the pitching coach, and he always brought in very complementary players coaching staff. If you look at the coaching staff that Mike Matheny's brought on, they all look, act, and had very similar careers to him. So I don't think that he's brought in a very complimentary coaching staff. And because of that, I don't think that they're a very good team. I think that they're very very one level and just not a very good coaching staff. So to answer your question now, I would shake up the coaching staff. I do think you keep Matheny in as manager. I really like Matheny as a manager. I've never questioned his heart. I've never questioned his competitive nature. I do think that he's trying to win. But the rest of his coaching staff, shake him up. We need some new people in there, some new blood, some new voices.
I'd like to see Oquindo back.
Everybody would.
Yeah.
I don't think Jose's walking through the door. anytime soon. I don't think he's ever going to walk through the door. I think he's done. I think his baseball in the major leagues, from what we're used to, I don't think he's going to do it. He's at that age where I think he's basically retired. I'll work with the guys down in Jupiter and spring training. That's my opinion on him. I like your take, Bilzers. I think it's interesting. I think you hit something there that maybe they need to get some complimentary pieces to go along with how Matheny thinks, just to give him maybe a different perspective. What we call that in the business world is the yes men.
Yes,
you know,
man.
We got to get away from the yes men.
That'll kill you. It'll kill you. You got to have people. Even you don't have to agree on everything. To hear an opposite opinion on some, on a, an important thing is very important in the world in general, and that's very, very prevalent in baseball too.
So. Right. So, and I know what Zach wants to do. He wants to hold tight right now, and he wants that big bopper on free agency next year, whether it's Machado or Bryce Harper. And I don't disagree because I don't see that guy in our system anywhere. Right. You know, even the players that we have coming up are nice pieces, but you don't have that high-end prospect outside of Reyes, the pitcher, right? You don't have that high-end prospect that you expect to come in and be a 40-home run, you know, 320 hitter, right?
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, who take your pick there. You build a franchise around those two players. We don't have anybody to build that plays every day. We do not have an everyday guy that you build a team around. I think that we have to go after a Manny Machado. I would piece together this. The Twins look decent, and I don't know if Dozier's on the market. But I think that you can get their attention if you trade Colton Wong and get rid of Lance Lynn. Get them a starter that's proven that he can do something in the league, because at the end of the day, the Twins, that's where they screw up every year. They're pitching. Add depth in their pitching staff, Lance Lynn. Get rid of Colton Wong. Bring in Brian Dozier, who hits 30 bombs a year. Then you complement him with Manny Machado. Because if you get Dozier, you're probably not going to get Harper. But you can probably still get Machado. Those are two pretty good building blocks, guys that are in the prime of their careers that you can start to build upon. And people are going to listen to those guys. That's just my take. I've been wrong before, but I've also been right. So...
Bilzers, you need to drop off. So anytime you need to go, just hang up. Good luck with your appointment today. We probably got five, six minutes left here of the show that we're gonna wrap up some final thoughts. But appreciate you being on today, and try to convert some of those guys up in the greater Chicagoland to give a listen to
my best
podcast in the business.
Had a blast. Thank you very much for the time, and go Birds.
See
you, Birds. Thanks, Bill. Good to meet you, Bill.
So. You know, I like where you're going. I think there's going to have to be a time, and Rodney hit it, where, you know, every day that goes on that you don't make a decision, whether you're a buyer or a seller, you're just going to be stagnant and probably continue to fall further in the standings. So I would like them to make a decision relatively soon and say, here's what we're doing. And it's either if we're going to be a seller, get rid of a couple of pieces. You know we have the five guys or six guys that are our untouchables. And I agree with you. I think Lynn's to be had. I think, obviously Leak's to be had. There's all these guys that can be had out there. Wong, Diaz. None of those guys, I think, are untouchable.
And you need to trade them while they're hot.
And you need to trade them while they have a good contract. Because I'm not sure any of them are hot
right now. No.
But anyway, if you can get rid of a couple of these guys, if you're going to rebuild and make room for your young kids, and that's the other thing. You can't stay stagnant with veteran players playing at 220 and not give the Sierras and the Baders opportunities come up, you know. Obviously, if you can move Pham or Martinez, those guys aren't anything to the Cardinal system other than what
we
call...
They've been around a long time.
Yeah,
you know,
what we
journeyman.
Call 4A players,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to sell, then it's time to bring people up. It's time to bring a Luke Voit up. It's time to bring a Bader up. I mean, Bader's hitting 290. Voit's hitting 319. I don't see why not to plug him in if we're going to sell. Because, and I'll say it again, Cardinal Nation hated the comment last time, but I would ride the wave. This is not a season that you won't – this is not somewhere – this is not a team that's going somewhere. They're going to the golf course. And so October 1st, they're flying to Arizona. They're going to Florida. They're booking tee times, and they're playing golf for about 3 months. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we talked about even looking before the season started where we expected the Cubs to come back to the pack a little bit and that hopefully our defense, a little bit better timely hitting, would move us up a little bit. But our best-case scenario was competing for, in my opinion, competing for a wildcat position.
Yeah, the wild card. Yeah, absolutely.
Wild card, but not
yeah,
wildcat. Yeah, wild card yeah, yeah. Position.
You're thinking about the 1 o'clock Dallas Cowboy wildcat offense.
Yeah, couple more exactly, minutes, but, Steve. Couple more minutes.
I agree with you. Yeah, it's frustrating, Steve. It really is frustrating as a fan. But also, just to see the direction this team's going and. It's hard for anybody to watch. I mean, it really is.
I think where we are today is kind of a byproduct of the organizational philosophy that's been very successful for a long time. I'm not taking anything away from that. Their philosophy is to be competitive, be in it in September, find a way to get into the playoffs, and anything can happen. So what has happened over this long period of time is that we've been extremely competitive. We've gotten to the playoffs a ton. But at some point in time, when you don't have those superstar players on your team, you're kind of a middle of the road team, and that's exactly where we are today.
Well, eventually, much like everything in life that we deal with, prices go up.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we bought a brand new, and this is probably 15 years ago, brand new SUV, and it costs right under $50,000. And that's a lot of money, yeah, right? For a normal guy out there schlepping sales or whatever you're doing, $50,000's a lot of money. We bought it new, loved it, drove it for 13 years, right? The SUV was amazing. I would own one in an instant. So I go back to the dealership, and I look at the prices. And now that same one is $75,000. Whoa, I can't afford $75,000. So what am I doing? Now you're looking for used, right, vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that what we're down to? Is that we're looking for a used car? We're no longer looking to buy new?
That's kind of how it feels.
You yeah. know, we can't afford it. If you want to drive new, you're going to have to step up your payroll.
I don't see why we can't do that. We have the money.
Absolutely.
Let's spend the money.
But that's the mentality. If you don't have the mentality, if you can't wrap your head around, hey, I'm willing to spend $75,000 for a new vehicle, you know, because 50 was a lot and you went out on a limb, even though you loved it, you can't wrap your head around that 75, you'll never get a new car. And that's what I'm talking about. If management, if ownership can't wrap their head around, boy, remember like 20 years ago when our payroll was $110,000 and we thought that was a lot? It was. You were, you know, 10th or whatever, 8th in spending at $110,000, and it was only the Dodgers and the Yankees and who else was it?
Yankees? Yeah.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying there, but something needs to go off in the front office that, hey, we got teams that are spending $250 million and they're winning ball games. Okay. Now, money's a weird subject in the MLB, but it also is showing results. I mean, it really is showing results because the teams that are spending the most are always there in October. They're not selling there at all. It's frustrating to see that people aren't going to spend the money, put the fans in the seats, and give them what they want to see. If you're going to give mediocre players, you should give mediocre ticket prices.
Right.
You should, and that's not happening.
Right. No, I think you're completely right. I think that philosophy that I was just talking about was also being competitive so they can keep butts in the seats. Well, this team's not going to. I don't think you've already seen a decline in. attendance as the year has gone, and we're only in June.
You're right. I mean, they're going to hit over 3 million easy, 3.5
tickets
million
sold. I'm talking about people actually showing up to the games.
But it's not as bad as what you saw in Cincinnati these last four games, where there were whole sections empty out there. And I'm not sure Cardinal Nation's at that point yet. And until it gets to that point where asses aren't in seats in entire sections, maybe management won't get the hint. But at the end of the day, you have to do something. You have to decide who you are, what you are, and when you want to be that, and make that relatively quickly.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe that'll be an eye-opener when attendance drops, because they make money on their popcorn, their hot dogs, their beer sales. Maybe that's what it's going to take for them to start spending money, because I hate the term the Cardinal way. I hate that term. What is the Cardinal way? Is it losing? Right now,
it's be on the cheap because you got a great fan base, and they're going to have to change that because you can't do it. So we just we got our resident Cincinnati Reds guy who you didn't watch any of the ball games this week, did you?
I watched it all, and I couldn't be any happier.
So Jono's in here to do the Cowboys show with us, and we're going to get on the next one. Zach, man, awesome job. Appreciate you coming in on short notice. Shout out to my brother Bilzer's up in Chicago with Edward Jones. He was on our M4 by Yachty hotline. For all the people out there in Cardinal Nation, appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the show. And Rodney, I know you're sticking around for another one. I'm going to eat my other Jack in a Box taco here. So
I already ate it.
Oh, man.
You weren't looking.
All right. Well, folks, good luck to the Edwardsville Tiger high school baseball team.
Let's go orange and black.
Changing, you know, they're going for a state championship, hopefully tonight and tomorrow. And hopefully they get one of those. We're missing Jimbo. We're missing BMO. But until next time, hopefully the Cardinals get on a winning streak. We're out of here at Lineup Media Group. Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.